The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The Department of Justice has released details in an audit report that called for stronger controls to confirm applicants' background and criminal history in relation to the government's so-called golden visa scheme. The report was finalised almost 4 years before the scheme was discontinued, and it's only been due to the efforts of the Irish Times that these details have been revealed. A current affairs editor with the Irish Times, Arthur Beasley, joins me now. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, let's talk about the scheme first. Remind people why it was introduced.
So the scheme was introduced in 2012 when Ireland was still in the grip of financial crisis, huge unemployment, rampant unemployment, and it allowed people, non-Europeans, who had at least 2 million euro in personal wealth, it allowed them to invest 1 million in an Irish business or to make a large philanthropic donation in return for a visa to live in Ireland, which would in turn, of course, give them the right to live anywhere in the EU. Now, it was introduced, as I say, in the maw of financial crisis and came to be dominated by applicants from China. And indeed, in the last full year of the scheme in 2022, there were 1,275 applications from China. That's essentially as good as 25 Chinese millionaires applying for Irish residency every week of the year 2022.
Now, whether or not they love the Irish weather or what they like about Ireland, as you point out, it gives them the right to live anywhere within the EU, and now, of course, excluding the United Kingdom. But then there's freedom of movement across the Irish Sea as well, so they could go to and fro without any difficulty. The suspicion is what exactly, before we go into the dodgy details, the suspicion is what? That Chinese millionaires are afraid that, you know, they might fall out with President Xi, they might not have a welcome on the mat at home, and they had to have an exit strategy.
I think that is very much there, and there is a perception that if there were to be a clampdown for whatever reason in China, and there have been under President Xi, that people would have, with residency to live in Ireland or anywhere else in the EU, they would have a route out of the country if they managed to get out of the country before a clampdown took hold.
Now, some real investment was made. I mean, there are investments that would be recouped. You know, the investment goes in, the building is built or whatever, and then the investment can be recouped by the person who put the investment in. But then there are philanthropic donations which cannot be recouped. What kind of organizations benefited from those?
Well, this is a matter which is kind of which lacks transparency. The Department of Justice, which ran the scheme, has never come out and said who were the beneficiaries. The only beneficiaries we know of are those who have actually themselves declared publicly in one way or another or in official filings that they were in receipt of money. The beneficiaries included property groups such as Bartra and Fitzwilliam. They also included Trinity College in Dublin, University College Cork, and the housing charities such as the Peter McVeary Trust and iCare. There were many, many others, but that information has never been disclosed publicly by the Department of Justice. And what you have essentially is a benefit that only the government can grant, to wit, Irish residency, being exchanged for money from wealthy people. But the government has never told us who the beneficiaries on the Irish side were of that investment.
Yeah.
Nor has the government ever revealed who the actual beneficiaries of the Irish residency was either.
Now, the audit was conducted and finished 4 years before the scheme was terminated. Do we know, was the audit just a routine thing, the way they would audit any government scheme, or were there concerns in advance of the audit?
That's not entirely clear, but it is an audit conducted by the Internal Audit Unit within the Department of Justice, and it's a substantial enough document. When it was first released as part of a Freedom of Information appeal that I've made with the Information Commissioner, there were redactions of key details from this report. These I challenged, and the full report was eventually released earlier on this week. And it essentially lays bare concerns within the internal audit unit about the weak controls in the scheme. And essentially, it examined 18 sample applications, and it found that in each of those cases, there was no evidence to clearly verify the legality of the source of funds provided by the applicant.
So just to clarify, because when I read your report this morning, I thought 18 cases, well, out of thousands and thousands, that's not a lot. These were only sample cases.
These are the sample cases, right?
So it is conceivable that in many, many more of these, hundreds if not thousands, there is no evidence of the bona fides of the applicants or where their money came from or what their criminal background might be.
The report doesn't speculate as to on that front, but it's certainly, having examined those 18 cases, it says, look, there's no evidence to verify the legality of the money. And it goes further, it goes beyond that. It says that in 12 of those 18 files, that's essentially two-thirds, there was no evidence of an affidavit attesting to the applicant's good character. And in 18 of the files, they didn't have sufficient evidence of background checks performed on the individuals. And in one case, they noted that character reference was simply generic in nature and was in the nature of someone saying that the applicant has informed me that they are of good character and have no criminal convictions.
So I attest to myself. I am of good character.
Yes.
My money's not dodgy. Therefore, I am to be recommended effectively by myself.
Yes, and here's my money.
Now, the question is, why? I mean, one would imagine that something like residency in Ireland and therefore within the EU, freedom to travel to the UK, would be regarded as something fairly precious, a bit like a passport. Why do you speculate at all as to why the controls were so lax?
I think if you look back to the origin of the scheme, it was 2012, huge unemployment, massive lack of investment in the economy. The scheme was introduced. By the time this internal audit report came out, which was 7 years later, the numbers hadn't escalated to the extent that we saw towards the very end of the scheme. But it certainly seems that the controls were indeed loose, and the recommendation was that a further review will be carried out. That review was carried out by Ernst & Young, or EY, Accountants EY, as they are known now. And their report issued to the Department of Justice in November of 2020. And again, there were problems with due diligence, these kind of issues being raised by EY, pretty much in line with what was raised by the internal auditors. But it wasn't until February of 2023, in other words, more than 2 years after the EY review went in, that the government finally moved and scrapped the scheme with 24 hours notice.
Yeah, and we all wondered at the time why they moved with such alacrity to close down the scheme. There was speculation that a well-informed whistleblower had said, hang on a second, there are dodgy elements to this. Don't like it. These are the abuses that are going on. And within days, the current Taoiseach who was in charge of the Department of Justice at the time?
Simon Harris was indeed Minister for Justice. Helen McEntee was on maternity leave. What was stated at the time, or people were let known, that one of the reasons for the very swift shutdown with only 24 hours notice was to avoid a flood of last-minute applications coming in before a later deadline. But we do know that there had been a huge escalation in the previous couple of years. As I said, 1,275 applications from China alone in a single year.
And the whole scheme was actually being farmed out to third-party agencies as well in China, isn't that so?
Well, essentially what you had was that you had agents who became essentially intermediaries between the applicants and the recipients of the of their money, and the companies that, would have been receiving the investments are indeed the philanthropic donations. Again, the role of the agents, they are said in many cases to have taken a pretty large fee, which was a large percentage of the investment sum. But that role, again, is something that is hidden in obscurity. And at an earlier point in my work in this particular story, I asked the Department of Justice about the role of agents, and they said that they had no records in relation to agents.
Dear, oh dear. There's more to this. This requires a fundamental parliamentary investigation. There is a story going around that a very eminent politician, retired politician, now deceased, blew the whistle on a scheme because of an involvement and saw how crazy it was. But anyway, we'll park that there for the moment, and perhaps you'll do a bit more digging, Arthur, and bring us more before too long. Arthur Beasley, current affairs editor with the Irish Times, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.